So we come now to this passage in John that we read earlier, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And as Robin explained last week, or in fact 2 weeks ago now, the phrasing of this, I am, means far more to a Jewish audience than it would to us, because it's invoking the name of God, and that provokes a reaction from many of the Jews listening. And in today's story, Jesus again says, I am, and he talks about resurrection. And he's making a very bold claim, again, as he was before in the previous statements. He's saying, I'm God. And that's a bold claim. And everything that happens in this story, and indeed our reaction to it and what we learn from it or don't, depends really on whether we believe Jesus' claim. So the key thing, is this claim true or is it a fake? And fake news is pretty topical at the moment, but people fake things all the time. So for example, this is pretty recent. A pilot flying passenger jets around the world for 20 years actually turned out to have no pilot qualifications. That's slightly worrying. I guess he didn't crash anywhere, so that's good. But nonetheless, still worrying. So he was faking it. And then somebody, again, pretty recently, was faking being a millionaire and a rich heiress with a huge estate, a trust fund to support her lavish lifestyle. So she was faking that and ended up in court. And another bit of fakery, again, recent. So this man faked being a doctor. And all went well until his family realized what he was doing and threatened to expose him, and he then tried to kill them. So that's a good caring doctor, but nonetheless, he was caught. So all three of these characters were caught out. Their fakery didn't last very long, and they ended up in prison, many of them. In fact, all of them, I think. So we come back to Jesus' claim. Is it a fake or is it real? So his claim to be God, is that true? If it's not, then we don't need to go any further. But if it might be, or if it is, then we should really pay attention. So critically, Jesus might ask us, am I who I say I am? Do you believe that claim that he's God? And in today's context, the passage we looked at, he claims, I am the resurrection and the life. And this comes from his conversation with Martha, where Martha has come... No, sorry, let's just have a little edit there. So this comes from the conversation he had with Martha. Martha had come out of the village to meet Jesus before he got there. And he says to her, your brother will rise again. And she gives a good, sound, solid answer. Yes, I know he will rise on the last day. So resurrection eventually, after we've lived and died and whatever happens after that, he will rise on the last day. And then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then, do you believe this? And she says, yes. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who will come into the world. So, Jesus has said, not only I am God, but I am the resurrection. And this is in the context of a woman who has just lost her brother. He's been dead 4 days, buried 4 days. So it's quite a raw moment to be talking about resurrection. And Jesus is saying it's not just necessarily some distant thing. I am the resurrection. And that is put to the test pretty soon after. Because they... join with Mary, go up to where the body is in the cave, the tomb, And they take away the stone after a little bit of discussion about how bad the smell's going to be. So they were all absolutely sure that Lazarus was dead. There's no question that he wasn't dead. Dead and rotting, in fact. So Jesus looks up and he says, he prays, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people here, that they may believe you sent me." And when he said this, he cries out in a loud voice, calls Lazarus out. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes back from the dead. Now, that is a pretty astonishing thing to do. I mean, it kind of loses its impact a little bit because we know this story. But you imagine somebody going down to the cemetery at the corner of Ditton Lane, standing next to a recently buried person, their body, praying, and then calling them out from the tomb, and they get up and come out. I mean, that would be major, major, major news. So it's an astonishing thing to have done, to pray, and then for the very thing you've prayed for to happen in front of many, many, many witnesses, where there is no ambiguity that the person was dead 4 days ago, or died four or five days ago. That's an astonishing miracle. And for Jesus to claim to have come from God, to pray to his Father, and then to do an astonishing miracle, means his claim to be God is valid, because how else could you do that? And actually, it's not only people who believed were convinced. The Jews, the leaders of the Jews who were opposed to Jesus, even they saw this as an astonishing thing. So in a few verses after the passage we read, they say this. They call an emergency meeting, and they say, "What are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many signs." Signs is a loaded word. "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." So this miracle that Jesus did is really, really strong evidence, compelling evidence that his claims are not fake. So, first half of the sermon, is Jesus fake or is he real? Now, the evidence from this amazing miracle is that his claims are real. Now, if his claims are real, then we need to pay attention to them. So let's go back to where we started, the very start of the service. I asked you, what do we need from God? So let's think about what the folk in this story needed. What did Lazarus need? Well, before Jesus got there, he needed healing. He was ill. His sisters recognized that. And they send word to Jesus. Lazarus needed healing. He was sick. I mean, mortally sick. So he needed healing. So he definitely needed something. Mary and Martha. Now, what did they need? Well, they are both distressed, and they both use the same words when they meet Jesus. This is after Lazarus has died. Both of them say, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." So they clearly have confidence that Jesus is able to heal. After all, that means they'd seen him do many miracles. And they knew that he was able to do that. And that's why they sent word to Jesus to come, because they wanted him to come and heal Lazarus. So now they're disappointed. If only you had come. So what did they need now, though? Well, they needed comfort, support, friendship, care. Is that enough, though? Well, Jesus doesn't think so. What about the Jews? They were a bit more skeptical, but they had the same view that had Jesus got there sooner, things would have been different. Surely Jesus, who could open the eyes of the blind, could have healed Lazarus and prevented him dying. So although they're a bit skeptical, and this phrasing is slightly critical, they do recognize that Jesus had the power to heal. And there is disappointment or maybe criticism that Jesus didn't come sooner. So Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they needed Jesus to do something. You'd think that if Jesus was compassionate and caring, he would have come and healed Lazarus, wouldn't he? Before we get to what Jesus actually had in mind, we need to ask the question, what do we need? Now, what are our deepest needs? Now, we have some superficial needs. I say superficial, that's perhaps a little unfair because, you know, food, clothing, shelter, all of that, that's not superficial. We do need those things. But ultimately, we need forgiveness. Otherwise, we face God's judgment, God's wrath, in fact. And then we potentially face a life without God. Sorry, an eternity without God. We'll come back to that. But we shouldn't duck this question. Mary and Martha had needs, real needs. We have real needs. And they expected, they wanted, they had faith that Jesus could meet their needs, the needs for healing for their brother. And they turned to Jesus in their distress, not really sure what he's going to do. But the more pertinent question is, what did Jesus think they all needed? So there's a very strange verse, or two verses in 5 and 6 at the beginning. So Jesus has just heard that Lazarus is ill, right at the beginning of the story, and we read this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Sorry, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And just get your head around this. They've just sent for Jesus to come and heal their brother. It's explicit that Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They are dear to him. So he stays 2 more days. Now, it doesn't say he was very busy doing some other good work or it was too far away and he couldn't get there. It says he loved them, so he waited and didn't go. That's a bit strange. However, we need to remember that Jesus knew what he was going to do. He was going to do way more than they imagined, a much greater miracle and revelation than simply healing Lazarus. So we read a little later on, when he's talking to the disciples, and they've had the discussion about whether he's asleep or whether Lazarus is asleep or dead, and we read this. Then he, that's Jesus, told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Now, I've highlighted the "so" in both of those little sections. Jesus' actions had a motive. Now, he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, so he waited a bit longer. Didn't do the expected thing. And Jesus is, talking to the disciples, he's glad that he wasn't there to save Lazarus from death so that they would believe. Believe what? Well, that comes later. The key here is that Jesus knew what he was going to do, and we don't know the future. So there's a big if. Mary and Martha express this very clearly. If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They had expectations of what they wanted God to do, explicitly what they wanted Jesus to do. They wanted him to do something to save Lazarus. But when Jesus is standing by the tomb, he prays and he says, "Did I not tell you," this is to Mary and Martha, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So the if, in those two little sentences, if you had been here, Jesus, it would have been different. But Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive something much better. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, importantly, in Jesus' view, seeing the glory of God is better for Mary and Martha and the disciples than seeing Lazarus healed from his mortal sickness from some, you know, a week before or so. So seeing God's glory overcomes and is superior in every way to what might have been had Jesus got there sooner and Lazarus hadn't died. Now, critically, when they see God's glory, they are seeing that expressed in Jesus' actions, in what he does. Remember that Jesus has used this I am phrasing, used it earlier in the passages we read earlier, but he's used it here again. Just remind you of some of those previous ones. So he said, I am the bread, the light, the gate, the shepherd, and then today, the resurrection and the life. Now, on none of those occasions does Jesus say, I will give you bread, I will show you the light, I will open the gate, I will behave like a shepherd, I will do resurrection. He says, I am those things. He's not pointing to show the way and to give advice and to do stuff. He's saying, these things that you need, bread, light, a gate, a shepherd, resurrection, we need those things. He's not saying he'll give us those things. He's saying he is those things. And remember, in the story of Lazarus, seeing God's glory as revealed in what Christ is doing is far superior to having Lazarus healed from his sickness. Far superior. And remember the phrasing, I am bread, light, gate, shepherd, resurrection. Jesus is saying, it's me that you need. I am all these things that you need. So it's not God's action, Jesus' action. It's Jesus himself that they need. And the encouragement, indeed the challenge, is do we desire that? Do we desire God? So those claims of Jesus are, in one sense, outrageous if they're fake. On the other hand, if they're real, if he really is those things, then knowing him, being with him, would be our strongest desire, should be our strongest desire. And if we believe, we see God's glory. Now, God's glory, that's a very difficult concept. We see glimpses of it in the Bible, and when people see even a tiny bit of God's glory, they are overwhelmed. That's another whole sermon series. But God's glory is beyond anything we can imagine, you know, which means we can't imagine it, so that's very difficult. But seeing God's glory, that's the goal. So we come back to the question of what do we need? Well, we need those things. Bread, light, gate, shepherd, resurrection. But that's Jesus. He is all of those things. And for us, as for Mary and Martha, you know, in the midst of anguish, their brother had just died, and we face challenges in life. We have, you know, among all of us, different hard things to face. What do we need in those settings? Do we need comfort and friendship, support, encouragement? Yes, we do need all of those. But ultimately, what we need It's not a what, it's a who. We need Christ. We need Jesus in those situations, both in the hard ones and in the joyful ones. And if we believe, we will see God's glory. And we see some of it now, like Mary and Martha did. They saw God's glory. And indeed, remember, these events were just a week or two before Jesus' death and resurrection. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection, and I'm going to prove that to you because he raises Lazarus, he is also thinking ahead a week or so to his own death and resurrection. And not only was Lazarus raised, Jesus was raised, but he will raise us from death too. So the resurrection that Jesus talks about, yes, it applied to Lazarus, but it applied to him a week or so later. And it applies to us if we believe. And then we will see God's glory in a way which is unimaginable. So we're going to sing two songs now. And just think back to how Mary and Martha were at the beginning of the story. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus' plan for them was to see his glory, and he revealed that to them so that they would believe. And they did believe. Remember, Mary. Well, let's cut that bit. Okay. So Jesus revealed himself to them as God. The power that raised Lazarus was the same power that raised Jesus a week or so later. And it's the same power that will raise us ultimately. But we have to believe, and that means we have to wait for God to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. So we're going to sing a song now which has the line, waiting here for you. And we're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. So Mary and Martha needed Jesus more than they realized. And Jesus showed them much more than they imagined. Indeed, he gave them himself. So let's sing, waiting here for you.